Blog Talk Radio.
All right, folks, for some reason, the bumper music isn't quite starting where it should, so we're just going to do this. And once again, technical dippas. So anyways, I'm going to go ahead and start the show and see where the sound bumpers go on this. We have a lot going on this week. Welcome back to Speedway Anywhere, your motorsports and multisports hour, blogtalkradio.com/speedwayanywhere. That's perfect. I love that. She sounds just like my little girl of 24 years old. So we're going to hit the cue one more time and see what happens. Feel free to join in on the shenanigans at 917-889-2053. I was actually told that a certain someone couldn't remember the number as he went to dial it. You can always email the show at speedwayanywhere@outlook.com. Let's drop the green flag and put the hammer down here. There are some rumblings about Cup returning to dirt, and they are getting louder. So I need to ask, if Charlotte is going to do an infield race or roval, you know, road course oval, instead of the traditional oval, in October, by the way, during the chase, why not send the Cup cars to Eldora on dirt like the Truck Series has been doing since 2013? I believe it was Darlington that was the first paved oval in NASCAR, and it hosted its first race in 1950. The rest were dirt, with the exception of Daytona being ran on the sandy beaches. And then the A1A highway street portion. So why not put the Cup Series back on dirt? You know, and I'm going to go off script. And I'm probably going to go off script a lot based on the liner notes that I've made. Why not put the Cup Series back on dirt for just once a year? And do it during the final 10 races during the chase. With Charlotte's fall race in the chase as a road course, Talladega as a restrictor plate race in the Chase, Martinsville being a half-mile flat short track in the Chase. Let's do a dirt race in the Chase. I think it challenges the top of the cup drivers to show their hand or hands and feet in that case. My only concern is the truck series first appeared in 2013 at Eldora. It was met with a ton of excitement and the hotels were sold out for miles away, hours away, by the way. And the numbers aren't as high as they were back then as, or I said that backwards, as they are now compared to back when. Granted, it's the biggest capacity show overall series at Eldora. Even if the place only can seat, I don't know, 12,000 people, I believe. I do think, though, however, Tony Stewart would have to invest a lot of money into improvements and, you know, more pavement outside the track for the Hollers and the supporting series that would run on the same weekends. And he would be at the risk of losing the race, what, 5 years later, as it is right now, when the hype wears off. Maybe they could do it with the truck series, but the hype of the truck series is it's a Wednesday primetime race on a race that runs the format is the same as the World of Outlaws. So Stewart, who bought the track in 2004, I believe, he picked it up and he's spent a ton of money for that one Wednesday night race. The rest is just residual as far as the World of Outlaw late models being packed in place, not to the capacity that the truck series does. And the World of Outlaws sprint cars being packed in place, but once again, not like the truck series does. I say give it a chance. I mean, hey, why not? The top of the crop as far as the Cup Series, if they were to put a chase race there, would be showing what they really have. I know a lot of them come up through dirt racing. Some come up through modifieds like Ryan Newman. Ted Christopher just hit the news too. I think he's finally given it up. And he was a main driver at Loudon where the Cup Series appeared recently. But speaking of top of the crop, the Rossburg, Ohio has as much corn on the drive to Eldora as the drive to Iowa Speedway. And speaking of drive throughs, the corn, County Fair Motorsports, I got to make mention, Anoka County Fair will open up Tuesday on July 24th. They got the motocross going on. And then the Big Bull Horsepower on Wednesday. And I'm not talking about horsepower, but I am talking about horsepower. Bull Riders. It's really... the guy's name is Ted. And I can't think of the association, but he does put on a heck of a show. And if you were to go out there, say on Tuesday, July 24th, and see motocross in the grandstands, you wouldn't even recognize the place by the time they transform it with the gates and the fencing and, you know, all the above as far as changing over to an absolute bull ring. Truck and Tractor Pros from the NTPA on Thursday and Friday, then Big Air ATV show on Saturday. ATV includes the quad bikes, and I think they have some of the ORVs, the off-road vehicles, you know, the ones the hunters use, doing some stuff as well on that Saturday. Demo Derby will cap it off on Sunday. I totally recommend Anoka if you're looking for a great auto sports of county fair. For everything at a speedway anywhere, I say keep an eye on the county fairs. You never know what's coming to your area. They get some creative events going. Some are like the X Games that was just here, but we're going to talk about that in a little bit. If you're from Minnesota area, go to mfcf.com, Minnesota Federation of County Fairs. Type in your zip code, and they will give you all your county fair details. If all you want to do is put your kids on a ride, grab some cheese curds, whatever's clever, that's great. But the speedways of anywhere are definitely here right now in Minnesota. Our own bumper monster, Jesse Preston, will be competing at Carver County Fair and Demolition Derby August 12th. Mark it on your calendar. I can't wait to have him back on the show. He'll give us the results, and I know there's some dates he was talking about as far as, sorry, I'm trying to click on a link for something here. Control plus to follow link. And then hopefully Jesse will be on the show following Carver or maybe leading up to it. And we'll, and it's not working. All right. I'm sorry about the dead air. That's just messing with me. I'm going to put on the bumper music for just a second. We are what? Oh, almost 13 minutes in. And I'll be right back. I got it back. Little Loghouse Tractor and Truck Pull down in Hastings. Hosted by the Little Loghouse Pioneer Village. Saturday, July 28th, 4 to 10 p.m. 5 days from now. And little chance of thunderstorms from what I have on the details. The address is 21889 Michael Avenue in Hastings, 55013. This was just introduced to me today, so I'm not real clear on what all goes on that day. Sounds exciting. You might remember an individual named Jim Gorbanal. he lives down in the Cottage Grove area. They've had the coverage of him encouraging people to do organ donation. And he's a kidney recipient himself. And every winter he goes out and builds Kevin the Kidney in the snow. I love it. It is... It's a great effort, and even, I mean, maybe some year we need to build one in a bigger location that gets more attention, but Jim's definitely got people tuned in as far as organ donation. So, but yeah, Hastings Truck and Tractor Pulls, July 28th. Check into it. It's another great addition to the summer events that are going on. You can call into the show and get more details or email, and I will recap it all back to you for, you know, addresses on the what and where's and the who and how's. And, but yeah, call into the show, 917-889-2053. Cup Series, Kyle Busch got a little payback. Kyle Busch, he kind of, you know.
Why?
You know, he had his... He did his little wishy-washy wipe away the tear gesture to Kyle Larson. You know, the other Kyle. How many Kyles are there in racing now? Matter of fact, the letter K, Kevin, Kyle. Oh, Kyle. Kurt. There's a lot of K's in there. Okay, back to the meeting. Remember that little wishy-washy tear-wiping gesture that Busch did on camera at Chicago after he moved Kyle Larson? Well, the crowd booed him for it, for moving Kyle Larson. Now, you got to consider Ed Loudon. Harvick gave Kyle a little taste of the way that Kyle races. Kevin gave little tap, tap, and bam, and moved Kyle in the closing laps. I believe it was lap 295 or 301. Harvick consumed the lead and now has 6 victories, as he and Kyle were tied at 5 wins each. Now it's 6-5-4 with Harvick at 6, 5 for Kyle Busch, 4 for Bowyer. And in reverse, the points are 1, 2, and 3, as Kyle Busch is first in points, Harvick is second, and Truex Jr., last year's champion, in third. But the race went to Harvick. Kyle Busch, Stuart Haas teammate Eric Almirola, was in third. He led the most laps he has of any race so far this year. Truex Jr. took fourth with Chase Elliott in fifth. Chase Elliott is now lurking only 2 points behind winless teammate Jimmy Johnson for 12th in points. Points are Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Truex Jr., Logano fourth, and Busch fifth. Kurt Busch, by the way. The top four have wins, locking them in the final chase showdown, but Kurt Busch does not. Clint Bowyer in sixth has 2 wins, locks him in. Brad Keselowski faded to 7th in points. First time removed from the top 5 in points since I can remember. So he has no wins to lock him in. Kurt Busch and Kez are probably going to make the final showdown races without a win, but you never know. I want to go back to something here. Now, Chase Elliott is knocking on Jimmy Johnson's door for 12th in points, but technically Jimmy Johnson is 14th due to the fact that Eric Jones and Austin Dillon have a lock with the wins. So if Chase Elliott moves ahead, then Johnson will be back to 15th. That will only take two more winners to bump Johnson out of the chase going into September. Crazy for that Mr. Seven time that's tied with Petty and Earnhardt. Back down through the notes. So the big story is Chase Elliott, Johnson teammate, and Johnson with no wins, Eric and Austin ahead due to wins, and they trailed Johnson in points, but due to the chase format, getting too far ahead of myself. Elliott needs to pick up the 3 points to push him back. And then, you know, there's a lot of guys. When you look at the point standings as far as the Stewart Haas team, only Eric Almirola, who had his best finish of the year, by the way, in third, is outside of the top 10. Bowyer, Kurt Busch, and then, of course, Harvick is up in second. Yeah, I know there's a lot to absorb, but, hey, NASCAR needed a playoff plan, and this is the system in place. I like it, and I hate it. It gets complicated to explain. I haven't even got into the stage racing playoff points. But one more tidbit on the Cup Series. Now, Eric Almirola, Stewart Haas driver and teammate of Kevin Harvick, was leading when the caution came out on lap 258. Troubles on pit road relegated Almirola to third on the restart. Almirola got a poor restart, spun his tires, and fell back to sixth before fighting back to third behind Kyle Busch and Harvick. Now, do you think Kevin Harvick would have beaten, banked on Eric Almirola the same as he did to Kyle Busch and moved him? I don't think Eric would have had Kevin on his bumper based on his speed. He was leading, you know, over 40 laps going into that final pit stop. So Almirola might have got himself a win to lock himself into the chase had it not been for the pit road problems, or had that caution not came out, by the way, which was triggered by Kevin Harvick, Kurt Busch, and Eric Almirola's teammate, Clint Bowyer. Clint Bowyer almost ended up in the top five as well. Not quite sure what went wrong when he wrecked. Cup Series heads to Pocono July 29th. Some may remember Kyle Busch finally crossed off Pocono as his final track to win last time they were there in June. Do you think he may give Harvick a payback to get his second win at Pocono if the opportunity arises? I kind of think so. Xfinity Series. My whole tirade about Bushwhacker Cup drivers. Well, Chris Pavel beat Cup regular Keselowski to the checkers this time, and for another win, by the way. And this is after Kyle Busch didn't finish better than third last race. I'm loving this. On top of it all, Bell did the usual deal when he pulled up to the flag stand, got out to get his checkered flag, then poked it through the fence to a lucky young man. That kind of thing usually doesn't happen anymore, and it didn't happen, well, except at local short tracks. My daughter even got, you know, driver's heat race trophies. I think that was really awesome. It was an awesome gesture, and, you know, hats off to Christopher Bell for that one. The points got shaken up again, and once again, at old points leader's expense, Sadler getting moved out of the lead into third. He's got no wins. He's 7 points out of the lead, 1 point behind Bell in second. But you also have Cole Custer, only 6 points behind Sadler in fourth, and Allgaier is fifth, with a definite longer margin based on, you know, wins. Allgaier is locked in with wins. The only others are Bell, who's in second. Reddick is behind Allgaier in sixth in points. So is Bell in first, Keselowski in second, Ryan Preece in third, who, by the way, has a win way back in points. John Hunter Nemechek, fourth. Matt Tiffey took top five in fifth. Now, as far as Chase playoff showdown, remember the Xfinity Series only has 12 spots available. Christopher Bell has the most wins with 3 and runs second in points. Allgaier has 2 wins and running fifth. Tyler Reddick has a victory, but you'd have to go back as far as Spencer Gallagher, by the way, with the disqualifier for failing a drug test, and then to Ryan Preece for eligibility in points. So Ross Chastain and Ryan Reed, you could consider them outside in 13th and 14th of the 12 going into the Xfinity Series chase. Not sure that's going to be the way that it pans out, but I am. Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. I've just been rambling on. That's why I'm going to go for a break. 917-889-2053 or email the show at speedwayanywhere@outlook.com, and we'll be right back. Y'all caught me holding my pants down. It's a good thing it's the internet. no, not really. I just wasn't ready. I wanted to talk about the really cool thing about the ESPYs, and let's get this pulled up as well as I was trying to do it. Save it for a minute. Some cool news about motorsports. Truck Series, like I said, the race at Eldora Wednesday, where we got a new winner on the year, Chase Briscoe. The Briscoe family has been, boy, you name it, dirt, asphalt, and I believe even motocross. So, Johnny Sauter struggled, but is still our points leader ahead of Noah Gregson, who still holds second in points. Brett Moffitt is holding third. Sponsorship is still limited throughout the year. Be a damn shame if he wasn't able to come out and race in the chase. Truck Series returns to Pocono this Saturday, the 28th, day before the Cup Series. One little note here is Briscoe is running for points in the Xfinity Series. Therefore, he isn't qualified based on his win in Truck Series at Eldora to qualify for the final championship chase. NHRA, let's go there. Leah Pritchett, another one of the women of horsepower, the ones that refuse to go 180 miles per hour. They want to go 300 and plus. She won top field at her sponsor's race there at Mile High, Mopar. John Force, this is awesome, but we'll get to that in a second. Greg Anderson took pro stock, and Hector Rana, hopefully I got that right, pro stock motorcycle. So Hector Arana, trying to answer a call here. Okay, I got my call. I hate being the only engineer. But yeah, John Forrest, 149 victories in funny car finals. First in over a year. Forrest has 16 championships, and he's 69. Dude! I know Kurt's online, so he's got to love that. And who knows if he'll ever hang up his helmet. I mean, 69 years old, 16 championships, 149. He's got to be loving this. I mean, he's knocking on the door of that 150, and he recently got to race Courtney again in the finals. Courtney beat him up, so you know he wants to beat her for 150th. Speaking of Courtney Forrest, she still holds a commanding lead in funny car points over Matt Hagen. Steve Torrance holds his first in, I said that wrong. Gotta make an idiot out of myself once in a while, but that's all right. There's a lot to read, and I'm clicking in my voice. Steve Torrance.
Need that crying sound clip for you sometimes.
No, I just don't think.
Okay, I gotta cut you off before I forget. Do you think the Bush brothers were mad when they found out that Bush beer wasn't named after them?
You know what's crazy to me? I'm going off script now. I was trying to cover the freaking NHRA. Thanks, Captain Kirk. You know, what's not funny to me is why is it that Bush beer sells better in Washington, D.C. than Budweiser after there was a president named Bush?
Oh, yeah. But okay, you can well, is the force still with us? Because if it is, you got to talk about Courtney.
The force is still with us because we were talking about force. But
yep.
But yeah, I think The only way to get John to hang up his helmet is if he gets to beat Courtney in for his 150th. And then, I don't know, Brittany in Top Fuel. Maybe he'll get back behind the wheel of the Top Fuel car and race Brittany for us. You never know.
So, what kind of broadcaster? What kind of broadcaster do you think he would be? I've never heard him broadcasting, so what kind of broadcaster would John Ford
be?
He
would never shut up. He would sound like this.
No, okay.
What do you ask? All right, let me get through NHRA before this really gets derailed. Speaking of Courtney Forrest, she still holds the commanding lead in funny car points over Matt Hagen. Steve Torrance still holds first in Top Fuel. Oh my God, that was funny. Greg Anderson took points for Pro Stock ahead of Tanner Gray and Erica Anders. So those three have been trading the helm. Speaking of the WAPs, Erica Anders, she's doing good there too. Andrew Hines has the points lead in Pro Stock Motorcycle. NHRA will head to Sonoma to complete his tic-tac-toe tour. Oh, my God. You and your broadcaster thing about blah, blah, blah. And I stink. And I've been wearing the same oiled uniform since 1979. And
yeah.
It still says Castrol, even though it, the name on the side of his car is Peak. But I believe that Peak is part of the same company as Kessler GTX. So, yeah, NHRA will head to Sonoma to complete his tic-tac-toe tour for the final square. Who was the host of that old show?
Oh, I believe it was Wink Martindale.
Okay.
Yep.
So, yeah. If you were to look at the U.S. and put a tic-tac-toe board on it, that's what the NHRA just did. New Hampshire, Colorado, California.
The thing about tic-tac-toe, remember in war games, tic-tac-toe, because it was always a tie, it saved us from a nuclear holocaust. Don't forget about that, people.
I have no idea what that's about, but okay.
War games. Would you like to play a game? So maybe John Force is saving the universe in his tic-tac-toe tour.
You know, I'm
I don't know where I was going.
I don't either. That's why I just say it. You know how much trouble it is for me to pull up a soundbite like that?
Well, it wouldn't be if John Force was up there with you. That's the way he would broadcast, so you wouldn't even need the sound clip.
He's like, and then I stepped on the gas, and the front end went, oh! And it was like, yeah. And then, remember, what was the name? The little fish from Little Mermaid. When, oh, and the sharks, and then, oh, there was a. John Forrest sounds like to me. I need to get that soundbite from Flounder from Little Mermaid. God, too bad I don't have the starfish's soundbite ready. That would have been cool.
Yeah.
All right, before I do a quick little pause, IndyCar. Indy took the weekend off. Scott Dixon is still leading the points with Joseph Newgarden, last year's champion, in second. Alexander Rossi in third. Ryan Hunter-Reay in fourth. And Will Power in fifth. That puts two Penske cars in second and fifth to bookend the two Andretti cars in between in third and fourth. But it's the Ganassi ride of Scott Dixon out front. He's got the most wins on the year. So this has been interesting. The Indy Series will return for another road course race at Mid-Ohio after taking last weekend off. And Sunday, July 29th, I believe. X Games. X Games put on a hell of a show. Even bigger and better show than last year, if you ask me, here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. You could tell they had last year kind of as a practice run in comparison, watching it on TV. In comparison, as this year created better viewing areas as far as the way they had the arena set up. You know, because the crowd's basically general admission. Better camera angles. And they moved the flat track Harleys from the Mall of America IKEA parking lot to the U.S. Bank Stadium. So fans could see it all at once at one venue instead of having to make plans whether they'd be at downtown or whether they'd be in Bloomington. X Games are scheduled to continue in Minneapolis for, I believe, 3 more years. I'll have to plan better, as I missed seeing them live for 2018, and of course didn't end up down there last year either. I'm going to give myself a Gatorade break, and we'll be right back.
I thought he was going to break quicker. Everything's all right. John Force has left the bathroom.
Okay, I'm done with my break. Kurt, you do realize your phone is live during those breaks. Here's something I haven't done in a while. Ask Winnie a question.
Justify the greatest thing ever because people aren't talking about him, or just where have you been? Have you been hanging out with Mr. Ed? Have you been hanging out with? Oh, okay, cool. What do you think of Wilbur? Oh, you like Wilbur? Okay. Cool.
All right. I just kicked his ass back to the shed. He shit on my floor. He pooped on my floor. God. I have let out more swear words recently on this show than the entire beginning. All right, I'm going to go to a serious note. Speaking of X Games and local news, Tony Sperano. Not a lot of NFL news, but this is important to Minnesota fans and NFL fans. He passed away. The offensive line coach, offense line, I should have said. God, that was wrong. And only 56 years old. I don't have details at this time. I was making notes for tonight's show, but I know he was part of my home team as well as my home away from home team, Miami. One of the hardest parts of doing sports blog is reporting fatalities, whether it's a car wreck, whether it's an on-field injury, concussion that creates fatality, and then there are, you know, things like Sperano, where just out of nowhere. Apparently, Sperano had been in to see medical officials for chest pain on Friday or Thursday. It's not real clear. As a heart patient myself, I do understand some of this. And something got missed. It just really did. I don't think that he should have been found at breakfast time in his kit. I just bugs me. I heard a cool interview from him. He said, "I just want to coach offense." He didn't want the whole responsibility of, you know, special teams, kicking, defense. He had a plan for offense. So, go rest high, Tony Sperano. I really don't know what to say beyond that.
Well, you know, one of the things, look at his entire career, because not an NFL player, but just this long list of coaching, started out as a high school coach, which I always find really, really cool, and then you just work your way up. And another guy that, you know, Bill Parcells' connection, and
exactly,
just all these, you know, and all these other guys that, you know, even we're in there. And even if you look at Mike Zimmer, what a perfect, you know, and let's be real, you know, although the offensive line from the Vikings has gotten criticized, it was better last year and all that too. And his first year, you know, because he, I know I'm reading this on Wikipedia, but it actually did happen. You know, the year before he became the Dolphins head coach, they were 1-15. He goes 11-5, and you know, they make the playoffs, and I know he got beat, but you know, you gotta, and plus, so only 56, having that kind of experience, and just though that story on how he's got the heart condition and he's out of the hospital the following day. And I know I wasn't there, but it's just, and I know I'm blabbering on here. I had heard today that he even had an eye condition, and he would wear sunglasses inside a lot. And, you know, me and a lot of other people can relate to eye conditions too. So, Zimmer can, and Zimmer can, and, you know, and maybe, you know, and into an, and I'm going to get kind of on a lighter note here. Even when he became Dolphins head coach, because of the show, The Sopranos, I'm just thinking, I'm just wondering how, you know, but I never heard about it, though. You know, when they hire him, hey, let's make the Soprano jokes and stuff. But, you know, and but though I did find that always kind of a lighthearted side note, Tony Soprano.
I'm just going through a little footer note, and yeah, it's, I mean, there's so much speculation, I guess, at this point. And like you said, I've said, the media has said, this has been one of those things where all of a sudden, he's just gone. Well, now it comes to the forefront that he had went in for this. And, you know, they're calling it heart disease, which really bugs me. Because that says, okay, Tony, my friend Tony, he had heart disease that caused valve trouble. He didn't have blockage. Now, you got me, who's got a weak heart, but my valves are as clean as, you know, a newborn baby.
Yeah.
And then you have others who heart disease is tartar on the arteries. You know, it.
Yep.
It's such a generically used statement, and it bugs the out of me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's so many different variations of, and it's not always just the high cholesterol. It's not always just, you know, and I've even been in hospitals where people had a heart infection, and it's called heart disease. And yeah, so I mean,
I was going to say, keep talking, because I'm trying to send somebody a message here to make sure they're listening in to a note about their father during final laps.
Could I get in one more thing as you're doing that, though?
You get in what you got to get in. I'm going to type right along.
I would like to just say, I know I never would have thought about him, but one thing, though, maybe one thing, though, if he was an offensive line coach, maybe that kind of personality, I didn't know the guy or anything, but that's what I always loved about offensive linemen. They have that personality. They make news when they lose. They make a bad play, or if they're struggling, or if they're bad offensive linemen, they don't get credit for the good things they do. And that's why I always like Randall McDaniel here and that, and maybe that was his personality, because it's such an underrated part of football is that offensive line.
You know, and I mean, there's very few coaches I hear about that they don't want to be the head coach. Wasn't he the head coach for Dallas? Or was it Miami? Or was he always a practical coach? Or what's the word for it? Specialty coach.
Special teams?
Specialty. Like offensive coordinator.
Oh, okay.
Offensive line coach. Defensive coordinator. Defensive coach. You know,
it's not ringing a bell at the moment.
Okay. No, I know that, yeah, the details are like pounding out in the media as he just passed away yesterday. All right. Well, so like I say, go rest high, Tony Sperano. This crazy that it's this time of year? Based on that 18 years ago, we lost Corey Stringer in practice.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
hell of a way to start the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now there's a lot of talk about, who'd they say? They even talked about Mike Tice possibly coming to take the position of Sperano out of retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And then also if they were to bump up one of their assistants to take over offensive line coordinator, offensive line coach, now that's going to leave another position open that they have to fill. I'm totally off script, so I'm winging it, Kurt. But doesn't that make total sense? I mean, say that one of your quarterbacks suddenly, you lost him, and then so you bring up his next in line. Well, no, you got to fill the one below him. It's crazy.
You don't make
crazy area to be in as a team, especially when you're knocking on the door of August.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You were about to say something.
No, I was just thinking about something, but yeah. Yeah, it's just, But 56,
I'm 46. I was diagnosed at 42, and yeah, it's something that I was going to chime in with on KFAN earlier when they're going down the road, and there's a lot of people talking about what they've been through and relatives. But fatality doesn't know what age.
Nope.
If everyone thinks that they don't need to get their heart checked until they're 70 years old, they're freaking lying to themselves. Ooh, I just burped in my microphone. That's the first time. I swore a bunch of times, but that's okay.
Yeah.
All right, so now I will lighten up the mood here for a minute. And, hey, go rest high, Sperano. You and Corey Stringer have some fun up there. Twins. Nothing special, but you got to highlight the highs. And Polanco's catch in Kansas City during the first of the three games was pretty awesome. He grabbed a catch that 99% plus would have lost to the ground in left field. On the other hand, the Twins gave up a less than 1% chance to an in-the-park homer to KC. So, hey, where do you go with that?
Well, people, all I'm saying here is about the Twins now, you know, they get on that hot streak. And I don't think that the Twins were boosting themselves up that much about it, but it was just, let's stay mellow here, people. But I was kind of looking forward to it. Plus, coming out of the All-Star break, you know, they're playing a bad team, even worse than the Twinkies. And, you know, all that happens, although I'd love to go see Kauffman Stadium. I always wanted to see Royal Stadium. I know it's the same place, but it looks even cooler now. But you know, you got to wonder if we're seeing the last time we're ever going to be watching Brian Dozier, because that trade deadline's coming up.
So, yeah, things are getting a little kind of funny and interesting here as far as the twins. Okay, Polanco got that less than 1% of a chance to keep a ball from falling into left field. And then KC got the in-the-park homer, which I'd like to find out the real stats about that. How often does that freaking happen? Wow. You know, that perfect storm. Polanco returned recently from failing a PED test after a long-time suspension. He's kind of on the chopping block, whether he'll remain with the Twins, but have you heard anything?
No.
Okay. I know his teammates completely welcomed him back, especially master closer Fernando Rodney. You know, they're pretty good buddies, and they're just like, you know what? S happens. Ooh, I said S instead of the other word. I'm getting good at this radio thing. I don't know. We'll see where Polanco lands. He obviously does not suck. You got any news on Romero maybe coming back?
That I do not.
I know Santana is slated to return this week.
Yeah, that's what they said a couple weeks ago. I'm holding them up to it, though, but I'm holding them up to that. But, you know, it's kind of like, well, and Miguel's tearing off the ball, but I got to give him credit for it. It's not like, hey, let's bring him back up. Let's just keep him down there for a while. Although I like Sano on a personal level, but it's just, you know, take that with a grain of salt, I guess.
Well, show me the scale.
But, you know. Yeah, I got to admit, though, Miguel, I like to see what his diet is. Oh, God, I hope he's not listening. But, no. I like Miguel, though, on a personal level. But
is it pork rinds or is it bacon?
I'm not sure, you know. And Ken Herbeck should take him out somewhere.
So after Sano got sent down to the minors, and after Romero got sent down to the minors, and after Buxton broke his toe, don't you think it sounded? I mean, it's just, it's gotta be.
That even upset Bush.
I mean,
man,
when does the crying stop? Obviously, I know how to stop my crying, but dude, where's your car?
Well, yeah, I mean, hell, even Bush is sad about the Twins' injuries. I mean, you know, and that's what it sounds like.
You know, and when Paul Molitor's there at the press conferences afterwards, I'm just like, hey, exactly. I'm just like, did you win? Go yo, the crying's got to stop. You know, they're great players. I've seen their freaking building skills. There's the three-sided balance, the bats, the pitching, the fielding. All right, you ain't got to be a baseball fan to understand that. Don't you think?
No, but it's a simple game. You catch the ball, you throw the ball, you hit the ball, you hope for the best. And then now only if the Bush brothers would take that into account, maybe they wouldn't cry. It's a simple sport. Get behind the wheel, buckle up, and speed. The object is to not hit anyone else, then you won't be hit yourself.
And don't hit the pace car.
And do not hit the pace car, people. I cannot. And by the way, you do not want to lap the pace car, but whatever you do, do not hit the pace car.
All right. Let me take a quick little view in here. All right. So we're going to go into final laps. Before we do it, we're going to cry for a second. Just because
cool.
I want to cry. We're going to cry. We're going to cry.
You know, I think the Bush brothers really need some therapy right now. Paul Molitor steps in.
All right. So we're going to do the 1 minute, 29 second little da-da-da-da. And then
Moby.
We'll be right back. Your car.
Oh, could you imagine the Bush brothers getting a lecture by AJ Foyt? Oh, that would be funny.
No, because when AJ Foyt slapped Ari Leyendijk, he would have broke their neck. They're just a couple little pencil kids.
Skinny
ass bastards who think they're so tough. All right, I think we're going to final laps. Yeah, 20 minutes ago. So, you want to hear that again? If this does not sound like Britney's voice,
oh,
I don't
yeah.
know what does.
It does.
I love it. I hope she's listening. All right. Hopefully, Steve, Jenny, Wentland, and Lila are all listening. So, if you want to call in, 917-889-2053. and we can talk about Harley. I got plenty of time left. I got just under 20 minutes, and me and Kurt will go through final laps. All right, five to go. Who's your favorite booth announcer? Doesn't matter what sport.
Well, I got to say, I always, well, it's not, you know, booth. I'm going to stick directly to the booth. Al Shaver doing the North Stars games. This guy would get going off a 3-2 beer during hockey, but sometimes he would start singing the songs from the organ. And when they would start rolling out, roll out the barrels at Met Center on the organ, listening to AM radio, you could tell he was buzzing.
Up in the air, and you could tell they were, yeah, that, it's kind of like that, you know, when somebody gets their chance to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and they they're waving their hands in the air, and their beer is, like, spilling out of the cup as they're doing, yeah, that's just, that's classic.
Yep.
Mine's Marv Albert, because he bites girls on the back.
Although, I do got to admit, speaking of Marv Albert, I always liked Bill Walton doing NBA games, though, because he would suddenly get off of basketball and would actually start talking about music. You know, and I know that might tick some people off, but sometimes it was a nice break.
All right. I know this one is going to take some debate time. The hype about the Packer fans' TV coverage. And they're so pissed off that, you know, we have the towers here in Minnesota. They don't. So the Vikings games end up on Fox, and theirs don't. This is putting the wine in their cheese. WHINE.
I think it might actually work better for the Packers, though, too, because then maybe people got to look for it more. Maybe people, you know, maybe there's not too much of the Packers over there. And it might actually help them. I've always thought that, you know. It might help them. Now, I remember as a kid, grandparents, you know, I've always wondered that, hey, you're in Wisconsin and you're an hour and a half from the Twin Cities. They're showing the Vikings. And I thought about it, but it's just, I guess, bigger media market. So,
Now, when I look at it, I think of it more from the angle of, okay, is sports really as important to you guys in your daily life as you make it out to be?
Well, yeah.
I would rather have better weather coverage for storms that are approaching that are, oh, by the way, coming across the Twin Cities. Wouldn't you like to have that reported to you on that western side of Wisconsin, instead of you being able to push back with Packer games against the Viking games? I mean, let them play each other, but I don't know. That's just my thing. I know the imports and exports from Chicago go through to Target distribution centers and Walmart distribution centers, and quit flicking your lighter, Kurt. God damn it. I am so nicking out right now and I can't smoke in my office. All right. So we're going to skip past that Vikings stressful coverage. By the way, Sperano, you figure it out up there in heaven. Stringer, you figure it out there in heaven. let's find a peaceful, easy, or what's that? Easy, Peaceful Mind song.
Oh, by the Eagles?
Yes, sir.
I got a peaceful,
easy, peaceful
mind. Yep.
Yeah, something like that. We're starting to sound like Common Man. He says he always tries to sing it like Bob Dylan. All right. I got to speed ahead. We're almost at 14 minutes. Just like a pitcher has an ERA, and this is awesome, by the way. I'm proud of myself for coming up with this. Just like a pitcher has an ERA, I think fielders need something for miracle stats. Hell, they get charged with errors. Why don't they get credit for when they do the impossible?
I think they do, because even when I talk to people, they do remember Kirby Puckett. And for those of you listening around the country, I'm got to bring up the 87 ALCS Game 1. Gary Gaetti to Ken Herbeck. Seeing Gary Gaetti go over foul territory to get that grounder that would have probably been at least a double. I forgot who the batter was. He dives to get that ball, just whips it to Herbeck, and that big man named Ken Herbeck has to stretch out to get him on first, and just the stuff that was pocket. So people,
I just think that, I mean, man, when you look at ERAs, when you look at errors, and then you look at Polanco in that first of the three away stand, man, less than 99% chance he got it done.
Yeah,
we lost 6-5, but he still got it done.
Yeah. It is a lot more than home runs, people. It's just
exactly, and that's what I was just thinking. That, you know, it's not their time at the plate. They got to get credit for their time in the field.
Well, talk about Buxton's hitting, but one thing, he's out there for his glove, and that's why he's out there, and that's why I want him as a starter. You know, it's that glove.
Yeah, I've been sitting on that one for weeks. I was just like, you know, you can't give somebody an error if you don't give them credit. That's
yep,
it.
And
you know, if credit or errors, you know, an error removes the ERA from the pitcher based on the fielders, the credit should also be given to the fielders. All right, let's go to two to go, and I'm not getting my collar, but that's fine. I'm used to it. I'm not going to cry over spilt milk unless it becomes spilt red wine on carpet. What's
are
up?
The Bushes going to cry about it?
The Bushes might cry about it, and, you know, I hear two things. And then they go back to the garage. And then you know what I do? I take a break, and I do this.
So, wow, the Bushes can cry on cue. Think about that.
The Bushes
literally
can cry
on cue. Yep,
no.
I just thought of that.
They also can talk on cue, and they sound like this.
Do you think
the
Bush brothers
are fun like that?
What?
Do you think that they ever went up to Danica and start crying and they go, I'm a sensitive man. Will you go out with me?
I'm sure Danica did this. Oh, I love my playground. Danica, wake up! Danica! God. It was getting tiring.
Yeah.
Two to go. Red Bull Air Races. They're well underway throughout this year, like every year. The last air event that Red Bull did, not the actual air races, but it was the Flutog. You remember that? They built those gliders and all that crap.
Oh, yeah. Now I do.
Why'd they call it the Flutog?
I was wondering that, too. Unless it's like a gliding term or something.
To me, it sounds like it was more of a Nazi term. And they're trying to keep it politically correct instead of, like, saying Red Bull Kamikaze. Because they wanted to be politically correct and not offend the Japanese. So they made Flutog sound like the Nazis. So that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
How long do you think it took them to clean up all that crap in the river?
Probably a while. I'm actually wondering if they got to worry more about the, you know, just what's in the air, though, than the ground. Just from the fact, you know, they got to fuel them things up, though. I mean, you know, during the planes and stuff. The gliders,
well,
I know
that the biggest problem was as far as barges and whatnot. You know, I would have loved to be a riverboat captain, and, you know, life took me the other way, but I just find it interesting that, okay, you're going to crash a plane into something, and you made it sound like something German. It was Japan that crashed their stuff into our ships, but that's fine. That was, you know, Godzillion years ago. Now I'm getting political and controversial. All right, here goes the serious part, Kurt. And I know that Jen Wendland and trying to keep my head clear here and not get choked up. Final lap.
Steve
too. Erica, Lila.
No.
And little BT, Brandon.
No.
It was just brought to my attention, it has been 25 years since the man who turned me on to auto racing passed away. Keep those drivers starting their engines in heaven. Harley. It was shortly after he passed that at Raceway Park in Shakopee, Minnesota, this was back in 1993, that a driver did a Polish victory lap in Harley's memory. He's probably the only person who can rival my own passion. I don't mean to grandstand on this. I really don't. But he's probably the only person that could rival my own passion for auto sports. I mean, I grew up with, obviously, Captain Kurt and Scott and everyone else in my family who were diehard stick and ball sports fans. And they definitely kept auto racing in fingers' reach. But, yeah, Harley, from what I knew of him on Earth and what I learned later, that he has notes in notebooks. Today, we have the internet, and we don't...
Yeah.
I mean,
no.
We can copy and paste every freaking lineup to every race, every result from every race, and, you know, look up anything at a, you know, you ain't got to plan your day around it. That's the way it was back then.
Yeah, I got to add something here. Being at their house, seeing somebody that built models of the Super American Night cars, because as a kid, I was one of them, you know, I knew who Richard Petty was because of the color scheme and stuff. And somebody that would do, like, the technical aspects. And I remember looking for the Dale Earnhardt Wheaties Revell car. Never got the Revell one. I got the Action one. Couldn't find it. And the absolute hysteria about it. I never even heard of this. And then what it was, when I buy the Al Unser, Indy car for about $30, and I love the Indy car diecast, you know, the 120. I think that they were actually like 125s, that they still fit in with the 124s, and they don't have like the Marlboro on there. It, you know, it actually said Penske. I thought about Harley right away. Because as a kid, I just loved looking at them that he made. I just thought it was so cool. It wasn't, hey, it's in a store, it, you know, not packaged. Somebody took, like, plastic models and made this out of the parts.
Well, he'd use the, I forget what they're called. As far as the, you know, the parts... When you remove parts to make the cars, it's going to come to me and hopefully soon enough. You know, he would take the plastic tubes that the parts came in and...
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yep.
Make roll bars out of that.
That's... Yep.
All right, we're coming down to a very short time frame, and I do want to squeeze this in here. So Victory Lane goes to Harley for the time of day he went to heaven. Hopefully he keeps those gentlemen starting their engines, and... keeps them in line. Maybe it'll be like Kenny Wall said at Elko Speedway and pointing your finger at the guy that's being dirty. Hey, I'm your crew chief Q. Time to beam assault, Captain
yep.
Bird.
Oh, Montgomery Scott, the Enterprise's engineer. If you need an engineer, contact Montgomery Scott there.
Well, as long as he pays me to keep my show on the air. This has been Speedway Anywhere, blogtalkradio.com/Speedway Anywhere. Wherever you go, get there fast. Rest in peace, Harley. We'll be back Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time for our weekend preview and weekly recap.